Hello, so today I'm going to be doing the 2 AM questionnaire, which was written by Hawk and myself to people who often find themselves awake at 2 AM rambling. We wrote it for anyone that was awake at 2 AM and fancied a ramble, but having said that, it is not actually 2 AM where I am, but I guess it's 2 AM somewhere in the world, so I had the day off and I fancied a ramble and I thought I'd do it now. Question 1. How many hours sleep do you get on average every night? Okay, that's a... Well, as some of you know, this week I have... Didn't sleep at all Monday night. I think I had a 3.5 hour nap during the day on Tuesday. Then I didn't sleep at all Tuesday night. And I had a 1.5 hour nap yesterday, sitting up in a chair. I was sitting up in a chair because I could not really, I didn't want to sleep for too long because I had a lot of work to do. So yeah, that was yesterday. And then last night I was awake till 4:30, I think it was, 4:30, 5-ish. But then I had the day off today and I had a good long lie in and I slept 7 hours, which is amazing. I feel as fresh as a daisy now. But an average... I don't know, I go through phases. I usually don't need more than 6. If I have 6 hours, that's a good night's sleep. But yeah, I think recently, it's been a few months now. I'll stay awake at least a couple, I'll stay awake for the whole night, a couple of nights a week. And on the other nights, if I get 3 or 4 hours, that's good. And then there'll be at least one day where I need like 7 or 8 to catch up on my sleep. Yeah, strange sleeping patterns, I guess. Question 2. How often are you awake at 2 AM? Well, I'm awake at 2 AM probably every single night. It would probably be easier for me to say how often I'm asleep at 2 AM, and that would be maybe 3 or 4 times a month. Even if I'm really exhausted and I fall asleep at something like 10 PM, which has been known to happen sometimes, I will still wake up usually around 1, 1:30-ish. So yeah, I'm usually awake at 2 AM. Question 3. At 2 AM, who do you wish would be accompanying you right now? Well, it's not 2 AM, but if it was, if I'm really tired or just feeling like all needy and stuff, then I'd like to be in bed and have someone just cuddling me, just holding me, and just whispering sweet nothings to me. I like me some pillow talk sometimes. But if I have more energy, I think I'd like to, I'd be up with either a friend or a group of friends, and we'd be getting drunk and just debating and, you know, putting the world to rights. I like nights like those as well. But yeah, it depends on my energy level. But I'll take the pillow talk, I guess, over the debating. Question 4. Talk about a dream nightmare that you can vividly remember. I used to be really good at remembering my dreams. Recently I haven't. I guess that has a lot to do with my really kind of crazy sleeping patterns at the moment. But I used to have recurring dreams. One of the main ones I can remember is I'd be in my parents' home and I'd walk down the stairs, I'd walk into the dining room, and then all of a sudden there'd be this giant kind of lion just padding around from the kitchen, and I would be scrambling to get back out of the dining room to close the door and then, you know, peg it up the stairs. And I'd wake up drenched in sweat, terrified. It was just awful. Nothing ever happened. The lion never actually got me. All I ever saw it do was pad around the corner from the kitchen. But my heart would be going and it would be like, I can't, you know, when everything's in slow motion, like you can't close the door fast enough and you can't get up the stairs fast enough. And I did actually talk about this dream with a counsellor when I was having counselling. And I don't know how it came up, but anyway, we talked about it and she said to me that I should consider that the lion was an aspect of my own personality. You know, like kind of the animalistic side, a side that I didn't want to face. Like I was always trying to be in control, and maybe the lion represented a wilder, more freer side of me. And she said the lion is not actually threatening you. And I was thinking, it's a lion, you know, the fact that it's a lion is threatening enough. But I did some lucid dreaming work, and I did stay put. Like when the lion came round, I stayed put, and the lion didn't actually do anything. And I never had that dream again. So yeah, that's one dream I can vividly remember. Question 5. How would you describe your dress sense, style of dressing? Boring? No, I don't really follow fashion. I have friends and they will buy everything, anything that's out new, anything that's in style, they need to go and buy it. I don't do that. Well, I don't like shopping anyway. I've ordered everything that I wear online for probably about, I don't know, for a very long time, for as long as I can remember, I've ordered everything online. But yeah, I'd say it's probably smart casual. I don't do like sports casual. And by that I mean like trainers and jeans and t-shirts and those types of things. I do, let me think, what example can I give? Stupid thing is, I think I'm the one that wrote that question as well. And I can't even think now what I was thinking when I wrote it. Like recently, I like to wear things like, you know, knitted dresses, boots. I do like dresses. Even in summer, I like to wear dresses. I don't like skirts though, for some reason. I'll wear jeans. I do like jeans. But again, with boots. And I don't like ripped jeans. So yeah, I guess I'm quite boring. I have my own kind of style going on, or lack of style. Question 6. Is there a part of your body that you really like, and why? Not particularly. I guess, oh okay, well, I don't know if this counts. My hair, I guess. I had it done last week. Something totally different. It's all kind of, I actually got it permed. And for all those people that are thinking, oh my God, she looks like an 80s reject. When I told my friends I wanted to get my hair permed, well, one of my friends actually, I think she wanted to beg me not to get it done. But my best friend's actually seen me with curly hair before. So she was really encouraging. And then my sister very kindly paid for me to have it done as a birthday present. And the girl that did it, she did a really great job. And I love my new curly hairstyle. Question 7. Which 3 people would you put on your fantasy dinner party guest list, and why? These can be living or from any era. Number 1, I would have Christopher Hitchens. He's not alive sadly anymore, but I love him. I love him. I think I've watched just about every YouTube video that features him. For those of you that don't know Christopher Hitchens, he's a journalist, a writer, a very outspoken atheist or anti-theist, as he put it. And I just loved the way, I mean, the guy just really knew how to get across his opinion and his ideas. So eloquent. But even in that, with the way he spoke, he was so intelligent and so eloquent. He would like bitch slap people with the truth. And it's just brilliant. And I love his books. I have most of his books, actually. They're books that I've read again and again. But yeah, Christopher Hitchens, definitely, because he'd have everyone in stitches and just be so entertaining with his ideas and his talking. Maybe Russell Brand, because I do love Russell Brand. I know people don't like him and he gets called all sorts of like horrible names, but I think I've liked him ever since he was a presenter on television, and he's just so funny. And again, I just like his way with words. How he can be going from being very cockney to very intelligent. And he has some kind of out there ideas, but I like those too. You know, it's good. Good stuff. So Russell Brand, Christopher Hitchens, and who else? Oh, Markiplier from YouTube. I think, yeah, definitely him. I love his voice. He does come across as a really nice guy as well, but and he's so funny, but it's the voice. He could say anything. We'd give him the telephone directory, he could read it, and I'd just be in heaven, just listening to his voice. So yeah, those are the three people I would invite to my fantasy dinner party. Number 8. What was the rudest thing that was said or done to you this week? No. Nothing. I've actually had a really great week, which is saying something because the first 3 weeks of January were like, try not to swear, were pretty bad. Actually, the last few months of 2015 were not the best. And things were just starting to pick up after around Christmas. And then things took a nosedive around New Year's. So yeah, the first 3 weeks of January were really bad. But the last week has just been great. I kind of feel like back to my old self, like the new and improved old me, if that makes sense. So yeah, I think I'll be ending January, or I hope, on a high. But no one's been rude to me. I've had lots of love, and everyone's just been so nice to me. Friends, family. Just, I've had great response even from people online. It's just been brilliant. So yeah, I have absolutely no complaints. So yeah, no one's been rude to me or said anything bad to me. Question 9. And what's one thing that made you happy this week? Well, everything that I just said. It just feels nice, I guess. Well, I had a birthday, actually. Last week was my birthday, which I was kind of expecting to be really depressing, but it turned out to be great. And then I tried something new with a workshop on Friday, and that was exciting. And I've kind of found my feet because I'm trying something new in my career and work. And I think I've found my feet with that now, and I know what I'm doing. And I've actually started to get a really good response, so that's encouraging. And I've had lots of great conversations this week, and it's just been, everything's made me happy. I think I'm quite happy at this time in my life, which is a good feeling. Question 10, what's your favourite meal? I love food. I love good food. But I think my favourite meal would have to be maybe like a steak dinner or something. Yeah, definitely. I think a steak dinner. A nice rare steak cooked like to perfection, that would be perfect. Question 11, do you have a sweet tooth or a savoury one? I definitely have a savoury one. I don't really crave things like chocolate or biscuits or cakes, although, you know, every once in a while one does indulge. But yeah, I kind of love, I love things like fresh breads or crisps. Not that I eat much of those, but yeah, if I ever have cravings for things, it's usually savoury foods. You know, good cheeses or crackers and things like that. Those are the types of things that I crave. Question 12. What are your favourite scents? My favourite scents. I like fresh, clean smells. If we're talking like perfumes, or, you know, the scents that like men, whether I like on men, have to be like fresh and clean. I like those. But I also like food smells, like coffee, good. Baking bread, obviously a good one. I like that clean smell of skin, you know, when someone just comes out of the shower. Even if they've just used soap, like, you know, just plain old soap. I like that smell, as long as they washed properly, obviously. Question 13. If you could have any job in the world, which one would you choose? Oh, any job in the world. I've absolutely no idea. I quite like my job. Wish I got paid more. Yeah, because I'm quite happy. I used to have a corporate job. And I was very good at it, but I just didn't enjoy it. I mean, I thought I enjoyed it, but things change. And then I kind of left it and I went into writing, and I love writing. But even that, I'm kind of, that's changing now because of the types of things that I write about. I like what I'm doing now and the direction I'm going into. But if I had something, I guess I'd like to be some kind of a singer. Maybe like one of those sassy, sultry, kind of like jazz bar singers. I'd like to be something like that. Because I can't sing or anything. So if I could change anything, I wish I was musical. Or, you know, I could sing or even play an instrument. If I could play an instrument really well, I'd be really happy about that too. Question 14. What are you most afraid of? If you're comfortable, share why. Well, I talked about my fear of rodents last time, so I won't do that again. I guess in life, if there's one thing that I'm afraid of, and that is, like, I don't like to waste time. I don't want to get to the end of my life and think, and I think, I guess this is true for so many people, but I don't want to have, then look back on my life and think, you know, I wish I'd done more, I wish I hadn't spent so much time just, you know, lying around doing nothing. I don't mind making mistakes. I don't mind, I'll say anything, I'll do anything just about. You know, there's very few things that, you know, I wouldn't just take a risk on, because it's worth it. I mean, as long as it's not going to hurt someone or hurt me, or, you know, there's not the risk of death or something, I don't mind trying new things. So yeah, definitely would be wasting time. I'm afraid to waste time because, you know, it's so limited and so precious that I like to make the most of the time that I have. I always like to be enjoying what I'm doing, even if I am lying around doing nothing. Because sometimes that is necessary, especially if things have been busy or hectic. You do need downtime. You can't be like go, go, go all the time. As long as I'm not enjoying it, as long as I don't feel bored, that's not a waste of time either. Question 15. Is there a movie that has made you cry? Oh my God, so many. So many movies have made me cry. Trying to think of the last movie. The movie that made me cry the hardest in my life ever, that I remember I was upstairs watching it, and when I went downstairs, my sister and her boyfriend were there, and the boyfriend just looked at me like, he looked so uncomfortable because I literally had like my face was like puffed out so bad, you know, when you've got the whole bulging red eyes and swollen, it was bad. Still crying, I think, when I went downstairs. It was The Green Mile. That movie just, oh God, it gets me every single time. But yeah, I cry a lot when I watch movies. If I like the story or I really love a character and something happens, I'll just cry and cry and cry. Is there a book that has made you cry? Again, lots of them. I'm trying to think. I think one of the first books that made me cry was The Outsiders. I was very young, I think, when I read that. Yes, I was very young when I read The Outsiders. And I remember I was in bed and I got to the end and I just couldn't stop crying, and I was kind of surprised at myself that a book made me cry, but I think that was one of the first books that made me cry. But another book that makes me cry every time I read it, and I've read it several times, is The Time Traveller's Wife. That really makes me cry as well, every time I've read that. Question 17. Do you like what you're studying right now? If you're not in school anymore, did you like what you studied? Well, I'm not in school anymore. Did I like what I studied? I'd always, when I was a teenager, I decided that I wanted to, I always knew I wanted to write, but I also loved the law. So I wanted to be some kind of either like a legal journalist or, you know, some kind of something to do with the law I wanted to do. And I actually applied to university to go and study law. And I got into a very good university to study law. But before that, at college, I studied law for 2 years. I was very good at it. But I think I was too idealistic for the law. I had this whole thing that, you know, the truth is the truth is the truth, which is absolutely not the case when it comes to law. And it's more about the show that you put on. And I think that even my law teacher said to me, and I was like top of my class in law, but even my law teacher said to me that he could see that it frustrated me, the cases that we looked at and the way the arguments were put forward. And even though I love debating and, you know, that's probably where what my love of debating comes from, is from when I studied law. Not when it comes to people's lives. I don't like that component of it. It's fun if it's, you know, when you're just mucking around with friends or you're in a classroom, but not when actual people's lives are on the line. So yeah, I then changed right before I went into university. I decided to do something that I would love to do, you know, that's something that I would really enjoy doing. And I know a lot of people, they looked at me and thought, what a waste, that, you know, how could you give up something like law or a proper degree, I think is what someone actually said to me, in favour of doing, I did the history of ideas, which is philosophy. But I don't regret it one little bit, and I loved it. I loved the whole looking at ideas, looking at theories. And as part of that, I had modules in sociology, political ideas, social psychology. And yeah, I loved that whole thing. I love trying to understand people, or, you know, why we think the way we think, where our ideas come from. And that was, yeah, so no, I have no regrets. And I liked what I studied. Question 18, what's your favourite animal and why do you like it? I love dogs. I am absolute dog lover. My favourite breed of dog, I love big dogs. German Shepherds, they're my absolute favourite. But overall, when it comes to animals, I love elephants, and African elephants in particular. My dad was born in Kenya, and he took us there, even though he left, I think, when he was very young. He took us on safari a couple of times as a family. We went. And it wasn't even that so much that made me love elephants. I think I was watching a documentary once and about elephants when I was very young. Oh, I remember. And the poachers killed, oh God, I'm stuck crying talking about this, but anyway, the poachers killed the mother and the little baby elephant was there trying to wake the mother up, and I just cried and I cried and I cried. See, I do cry a lot, even for documentaries. And then I began to learn more about elephants, you know, the way their emotions are very much like ours. Like, for example, there was this group of elephants. Like, usually the males don't really hang around together, but a group of elephants had gotten together and they were terrorizing like local villages or something in Africa. And it turned out from like tagging, I don't know how they knew, I don't remember, but it turned out that they were all orphaned. They were all orphaned. They'd had some kind of trauma, like that little baby elephant that was trying to wake his mum up. They, oh God, now I'm thinking a lion probably ate that little one. Okay, doesn't matter. I'm rambling. They said that they probably suffered like trauma when they were very young, and it was a miracle they'd survived and gotten to like be teenagers. But it's similar to humans, like, you know, when children are traumatized when they're very young, and then as teenagers they kind of play up and they go around in gangs. That's what the elephants were doing. So yeah, they have, their emotions are very similar to ours, and I think they're just beautiful. They're just beautiful. Elephants are my favourite animal. Question 19. What's your favourite season? Favourite season is definitely 100% winter. If I had to put them in order, winter's my favourite. Then autumn. Then spring. And finally, summer. I despise summer. In fact, summer should not even be on the list. I don't like summer. Summers in London are horrible. Just horrible. If you've ever been on the tube in the sweltering heat, you will know what I'm talking about. But I'm not really a fan of just the heat and the sun. A lot of it's to do with humidity. I don't like to feel hot. I prefer to be cold. That's more comfortable to me. So usually from around September to February is my favourite half of the year. And then I just kind of put up with the other half of the year. There are exceptions to that. Portugal. I went to Portugal because I don't usually like beach holidays and things, obviously. I went on a crazy kind of party holiday in Portugal. And that was really lovely dry heat. And so I guess it's the humidity I don't like. If it's kind of dry heat, I can handle it. And even Egypt, it was really, really hot in Egypt when I was in Cairo. But even that was nice. Like, you know, it was actually felt really good. Question 20. What angers you the most? I don't really do anger. I mean, I don't have any problems with anger. Anger is a very important emotion that we feel, and a lot of people try to squash it. It's not the emotion itself that there's a problem with. I think it's the way we express it. If something makes me angry, I will never kind of rant and rave and go crazy, but I do like to look at why it's made me angry. And if it's usually to do with the way someone's being treated, you know, like refugees, or the way ill people are treated, or, you know, just any kind of minority group, people are being judged for their race or their colour or their sexual orientation, or, you know, anything. That kind of thing makes me angry. But I won't rant and rave about it. I will usually take part in a campaign for it, or speak out about it, or write about it, or, you know. So yeah, those types of things, any kind of injustice or kind of prejudice, that type of thing gets to me. So yeah, that is the end of the 2 a.m. questionnaire. And it's still not 2 a.m. Thank you so much for listening to me. And I didn't think I went on as much as last time. If you find yourself awake at 2 a.m., why don't you try taking the 2 a.m. questionnaire?